This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Hamilton County ranks among the worst in the nation when it comes to infant mortality. Avondale, which abuts the Clifton Hospital Complex, had an infant mortality rate twice the national average. Sometimes terms like innovation, collaboration, and system disruption are just empty jargon. But sometimes these principles produce measurable results. A collaboration by Bethesda, Inc., TriHealth, Good Samaritan Hospital, Children's Hospital, UC Medical Center, and Every Child Succeeds produced Start Strong. After 3 years, the results are very encouraging. To discuss Start Strong, we are joined by the president of Bethesda, Inc., Jill Miller, the director of Quality Maternity Services for TriHealth, Dr. Michael Marcotte, and the executive director of Cradle Cincinnati, Ryan Adcock. You can join our discussion by calling 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
What a great group that's here today. Ryan, can you get us started? I sort of gave a, not 30,000, 60,000 foot view of what the issues are, and sure, particularly what the issues were in Avondale. Can you sort of put some data, some detail to what the situation in Avondale was when this whole effort got started?
Absolutely. And I'll back up by starting just to talk about Hamilton County as a whole, which for decades has been among the worst communities in the entire nation for infant mortality, which means babies who are dying before their first birthday. And that is thankfully starting to improve with increased collaboration over the past few years. But we've gone from, in 2011, we were the second worst in the entire country. Now we rank somewhere around 20th, not exactly what we want to be bragging about yet, but certainly improvement along that journey. So when we drill down into specific neighborhoods is where that really gets interesting. And unfortunately, the situation in Avondale was even starker than you suggested in your introduction. So the infant mortality rate was triple the national average when we started this project. Nationally, about 6 babies for every 1,000 who are born alive die. And in Avondale, that number was 19. Wow. And so that's the state of things that we entered. And the overwhelming number one reason for infant death in that community and across our community is what we call extreme preterm birth, which is babies who are born not just a little bit too early, but far too early before the end of their mom's second trimester. And far too small.
So I saw the definition for that is 28 weeks.
You've got it, which is the end of the second trimester.
Okay. I can't count so well. Okay. And when a baby was born that early, what kind of results occurred?
So overall, the population born before the end of the second trimester, about 50% of those babies die. Obviously, the earlier you are born, the more increased risk you have. And the earlier you are born, unfortunately, here in Hamilton County and across the nation, the more likely you are to be African American. And so we see an incredible racial disparity around this. And Avondale is a community that is largely African American and is not unique locally or nationally in having the kind of poor outcomes that we saw prior to this project.
Jill, when Bethesda Inc. was looking at this situation, what was it? How did you get started? Why did you decide that you were going to take on this issue, pretty stark, as Ryan just laid out? How did you decide you were going to take on this issue in this particular way?
Infant mortality has been a longstanding public health concern. And in 2013, we really recognized we had the ability to spark innovation and change health and healthcare for our community. And so we do what a lot of funders do, which is issued a request for proposals. And Cincinnati Children's and Every Child Succeeds, a home visiting program here, responded. And both of them were around projects to reduce infant mortality. So we really saw this as an opportunity to bring unlikely partners together. We encouraged them.
Unlikely partners. What do you mean unlikely?
So if you looked at the system at the time, there was a collection of disjointed services. You had home visiting programs. You had some of the great pediatricians in the country. You had great obstetrics and none of them were really collaborating and talking and putting mom at the center and working together to ensure that she and baby received what they need. It was very siloed. And so we saw this as an opportunity. Let's bring community partners such as Every Child Succeeds together, Cincinnati Children's that are caring for these extreme preterm babies, TriHealth OB. And then what we realized is 70% of the babies were being born at TriHealth or UC Health. And so we brought two competing partners together, TriHealth with UC Health. And
so from a business point of view, those are competitors.
Yes.
They want more business for themselves, not necessarily cooperating.
Yes.
It's not the mode. Okay.
Yes. But if you challenge everybody to come together and create a disruptive model of care with resources they need to think differently, to really address something in the community that everybody cares about. To your point, collaboration just doesn't become a word. It leads to action.
Dr. Murcott, on this case of preterm births, which sort of is the crux of the matter, as I take it here, one, I want you to develop a little bit about what the implications, not just extreme preterm birth, but one of the things that it seems to me that there was built into the medical system that doctors, nurses, midwives were even promoting moving up induced labor before full term. And it wasn't just, there were problems out in the community. There were problems inside the medical profession. Am I right on that?
So, yes, I think you are. And I think one of the important aspects to pay attention to is the work that we did prior to Start Strong. And that was really to begin to recognize the consequences of these what we call late preterm births, which typically are defined beyond 34 weeks, going up to the 37th week. And even 37 and 38 weeks, which are the early term deliveries, we were seeing increased consequences for those babies being born. So there's been an effort across our country and really across the world to really redefine the importance of keeping the baby in the mom, developing the gestation all the way up to close to the due date. You know,
because which would be 39 or 40 weeks, right?
Exactly. And so what we found was that by changing that or shifting that up to that time period, we could actually change in the population level outcomes like complications from births before that. So it's really about redefining when does it make sense to deliver a baby a little bit early and when is it better to wait? And we're still debating that, but the biggest good news about that is that that's really shifted. So that was the first thing that happened in both locally in all of our maternity centers, but nationally, was really that move to move births. And we moved literally tens of thousands of births in Ohio from that earlier time period to the 39 to 40 weeks just by disseminating the information and doing quality improvement work across the hospitals.
Why would doctors and nurses have advised, allowed, whatever the right term is, mothers to deliver early rather than going to full term?
Well, I think it was a combination of things. In the medical community, we knew we had state-of-the-art neonatal care, so we thought the consequences were minimal. And secondly, it's often uncomfortable to remain pregnant. So there is pressure from women to could we end the pregnancy a little early? I'd like to start caring for my baby and I don't have to be uncomfortable. And when we all didn't really understand that there were actually negative consequences that occurred in the 80s and 90s when we were allowing that to kind of go down that slippery slope. That work really set us up to begin to look more deeply at how our population was doing both in that late preterm and early term period, but also earlier. And that's what led us to begin to understand that there were certain groups of patients who were really suffering disproportionately. And then that led us into looking in neighborhoods, and it began to look at racial makeup of the populations and the disproportionate disparities that existed.
Ryan, in terms of, or maybe Jill, I'm not sure who to direct this question to, but what are the not extreme preterm,
sure,
but just preterm? Mm-hmm. What are the medical implications for a child, an infant? And secondly, what are the costs for the medical system? What are we – I mean, this has – preterm births have cost involved here that really changed the dynamics.
Extraordinarily expensive, and it's a cost that continues. So it's a great question. It's one of the premier public health challenges facing our nation today. There's about 1,200 babies who are born too soon in Hamilton County each year. And if you think about that over time, that means that within our school systems, for example, right now, there's 15,000 plus kids who were born too early. And we know that kids who are born too early can be at increased risk for learning disabilities. There's even been studies that have followed adults who were born too early, and we see less upward mobility in their lives. So we actually several years ago tried to quantify this, and there's a very real, very immediate medical cost. So in Hamilton County, we spend about $94 million a year taking care of preterm babies. That costs us all in terms of increased health insurance, increased taxes to Ohio Medicaid. And beyond that, we are able to quantify additional costs sort of throughout the lifespan. And we estimate that Hamilton County spends about $400 million a year through a variety of means on the ongoing costs to the educational system and the workforce system due to this one problem.
Hmm. Jill, and actually, as we're talking about preterm births and mothers and their attitudes, we should have been talking to you. You're the only person in this room who understands that directly. But for Bethesda, Inc., and for your program, BI3, which you stress ideas, investments, and innovation, that's where the three comes from. How did you sort of overcome what you were talking before about the competition between hospitals who have an attitude about seeking patients and business versus collaborating to solve an issue?
Well, one of the challenges is with the Medicaid population. I think that there's less competition with that particular population. So, I mean, from an economic standpoint, that was in our favor. But you have an issue here where everybody benefits if you can come together and work together. And so, but I will stress the importance of leadership. Without Mike Marcotte, without Elizabeth Kelly from UC, I mean, here were two great physicians who had heard of each other in the community but never actually worked together. Mm. And to see them come together and complement each other and challenge each other, I mean, that is a huge win, because that wouldn't have happened without this grant. And then to see them working with Cradle Cincinnati to take this, not just to leave it in Avondale, let's start to expand in other neighborhoods. I mean, they really went to bat and had the conversations, the hard conversations with system execs to say, we need to do this. We need to work together. And I was with John Prout, former trial CEO, just recently, and he said, I remember calling Michael Fisher and saying, we need to work together on this project. Mm-hmm.
It's really been, I think there's something about being among the worst. So back in 2011, before we started all this work, and, you know, Hamilton County was second worst in the entire country on this, I think that really does spur leaders to try to think about things a little bit differently. We were told when we started that these systems would never work together, and we haven't found that to be true at all. So beyond the work in Avondale, Christ Hospital and Mercy Health are also a part of this work. And it seems like when it comes to what is maybe the single most emotional thing we can all think about, the fact that babies are dying too frequently in our community, all of these leaders have been willing to set aside, you know, the hat they wear 95% of their day, which is how do we increase business for our health system, to put that aside and say, how do we improve this outcome? This is no longer acceptable.
Well, you know, one of the partners in all of this is Every Child Succeeds. And those who know about Every Child Succeeds know that what they do is they go into homes. There's their family visiting. They're working with new parents to help in that early process. They're bridging a gap. Dr. Marcotte, part of this program, we've been sort of talking about the medical systems and the what doctors know and how they change policies. But essential to this also was bridging the gap to the people in the neighborhood and allowing them to help change what needed to be done, right?
Yes, exactly, Dan. And I think one of the important things that's what we call our secret sauce, part of the secret sauce for this project really is around the fact that we started the project by saying to the community, tell us how we're doing. We want to engage with you in the design of the work that we're doing. What we know is what we've been doing for our whole careers in terms of giving prenatal care is not working for you. In fact, you're not very engaged in it. And what we learned without a doubt was that we weren't in touch with the real issues in the healthcare center. We were not in touch with what the families were dealing with in the community. And as soon as we began to have a true relationship with them.
And how did you do that? What's the concrete mechanisms by which you had got honest answers and honest exchanges?
Well, we brought in an outside consultant, and that consulting group really went out and found the families and interviewed them and got them into a place where the healthcare providers, the healthcare teams, the designers of this project could sit down and have in-depth, real conversations.
So it wasn't just having this outside group interview and then
no.
tell you the results. You actually sat down with
yes.
real people.
Yes. Well, it might be helpful to give an example. So there's something that's been a part of this project that we call Community Feasts. And this was really an idea that came from moms in Avondale. And they said, we want to sit down once a month and we want to have dinner with the medical teams that are serving us. And I think the way that many of us first heard that was, ooh, we could have education sessions and we could teach you about different issues. And they said, no, we just want to eat. We just want to get to know you. We just want to eat dinner. And it turned into this monthly bread breaking whose hearts and minds were really transformed.
So this wasn't a one or two time thing.
No, it's been throughout the project. And it's still ongoing.
Next week.
And we see that the MAs and the nurse case managers and the doctors who are providing care in these health centers, having the chance to sit down and just have a real conversation, take the stethoscope off, has been transformative for them and has helped them sort of think, oh, when a woman comes in from Avondale, her life might be like my friend's life who I just sat down with and had dinner last night. And the idea that this builds trust and empathy both ways, because historically there's been, we talk a lot about mistrust of the medical system, but I think people in the medical system also don't always trust the patients who come in, right? So creating this real human, it sounds very basic, but the results of the project were pretty undeniable.
Well, in fact, Joe, at this point, what kind of measurable results have you gotten? What kind of change can you see and point to?
So for one, Avondale hasn't seen an extreme preterm birth for over 3 years now. And comparing that before, pre-Start Strong, it was averaging every 26 days.
Every 26 days to none for 3 years. That's pretty radical. That's pretty transformative.
And Avondale went from having one of the highest infant mortality rates to one of the lowest, which is a striking accomplishment in a 3 years' time.
So this is not, what you're demonstrating there is that there wasn't something inherent about Avondale that was never going to change. Parents there love their children, want them to.
Exactly.
And it will change if you can approach them in the right way.
Yes, if you start with the community. And so as we look to expand this project, I can't reiterate it enough that we need to start with the community. Because when we learned that when we started to scale to Price Hill, we thought we could take the model that had proven great results that we just talked about and start to share it with other neighborhoods. And you can't.
You mean tell them about it?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to start with them because every community has its own culture and has its biases and distrust. And we have to understand that and we have to know what mom and baby needs before we can just jump in and intervene.
So what is the situation right now in terms of scaling this? Let's start with locally, Dr. Yeah. Marcotte.
Mm-hmm. So we're currently working in Cradle Cincinnati, primarily with UC and Good Samaritan, to expand to two more neighborhoods. We're working in Winton Hills and in North College Hill. And those are the two neighborhoods we're going to start with over the next year and a half or so. And to go through a similar process. One of the things we don't know about Start Strong Avondale is what exactly goes into the recipe. We know some basic foundations, and we're going to be using those to start with. But we know, as Jill said, that every community is unique. What we know from the point of view of the healthcare, the prenatal care, is that we have to get to that trusting, authentic relationship with the patient. And we also have to know overall what's happening in that community right now. And then as we start to make changes, we need to know how are they doing? Are they engaging? Are we using the resources that are available in the community to meet the patient's needs? Are we helping those families get to a place where they can access the resources they need?
Jill, I'm almost out of time, but or Ryan, you can answer this. But what about beyond Cincinnati? Are people showing interest in this?
Absolutely. We think this is of national importance. We do want to learn to scale locally, and we're looking at over the next 3 years taking this from about 200 women in Avondale to about 2,000 women throughout the county. And Jill and I actually next week are presenting to a group of funders from around the country to discuss what it looks like around the country.
Well, first off, Jill Miller, Dr. Michael Marcotte, Ryan Adcock, thank you for being here today, but also for all the work that you're doing. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. Selena Reeder is our assistant producer. Lila Shikui is our intern. And the technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley. Stay tuned for Here and Now on 91.7 WVXU.